prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. We are Truth Revolution. Good morning. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff.
You do not have to get rid of your brains to have the Bible.
Well, there's a reason why we do not have flip-top heads. Because God did not want us to just go ahead and take our brains out. He wants us to use them.
Flip-top heads.
That's correct.
I like that. But yeah. No, it's true. We should have open minds, just not so open that our brain falls out.
Right. And that happens more often than not, unfortunately.
When we say we want to have open minds, we want to question things. We want to challenge things.
Right.
And we're going to challenge something today that has stood in Christianity for hundreds or thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put the pressure on the Trinity.
Oh.
Is this legitimate or is this some crazy idea?
We're doing the full court press.
The full court press.
All right.
I mean, is this the Trinity really? I mean, come on.
Can't dunk on me.
Three guys are the same as one guy.
Right. That's what is said. Okay. Now, is it true or not? We're going to find out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not even in the Bible is what people say.
It's not.
Well, and so we're going to talk about that. Is that real? Is it not? Of course, we're doing a Bible contradiction like usual.
The word Trinity is not anywhere in the Bible.
Well, true. It is in the Matrix.
It is.
The lady's name is Trinity.
So
the Trinity is more of a Hollywood thing than
a
biblical.
Probably.
No. Look, okay, we are going to talk about whether or not the Trinity is real. We have a special guest with us today, Jacob Ali. And Jacob, hey, thanks for being with us today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Why don't we get just a little background on who you are? You are a pastor right now, but you have a degree. You're not just a nobody. You have a degree. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, yeah, I got my bachelor's degree was in religion and apologetics from Luther Rice University. And I also have a master's of biblical studies from Piedmont International University. So
okay.
I guess I've learned a few things here and there.
I guess so.
And, you know, we're talking about the Trinity. And one thing that I always tell people is if you think you have found the perfect analogy, you've probably just become a heretic.
Right.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
Well, you know, we were talking a couple months back on another show that we had done earlier about how I thought I'd had it, you know, because I, you know, the egg, you know, the egg is the whole thing. You got the shell and the white and the yolk. And of course, Jeff just shot me down right there on the air in front of everybody.
Of course, Jacob can probably do a better job. Now, why doesn't the egg work as a perfect analogy?
Well, you could point out a few different things, I suppose, having to do with the equality of each person. You could have to do with the fact that God, as a Trinity, he's not modalistic, so he's not just partly one thing and then partly another thing and then partly another thing. He, across the board, is exactly the same. He's all God, each person.
And that doesn't work with the egg, because although you have a shell, it's not all egg.
Right. You can separate the egg from, you can separate the shell from the other parts of the egg, and that just can't happen with God.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. God can't ever shed off one of his persons.
So. Awesome. So, good. Well, why don't you give us your quick definition of the Trinity, and then we'll throw some challenges at you. We're going to try to bring you down and prove the Trinity isn't real.
You're going to walk away an atheist, man.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
All right. So. No.
That's how I would define the Trinity. The Trinity is a doctrine of the Bible. That says that there is, and it's actually formed up by three distinct teachings, just to be clear. The first teaching is that there is only one God, and the Bible is clear on that from Genesis to Revelation, that there is only one God. The next teaching is that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three unique persons and distinct from one another. And the final teaching is that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three God. And so when you put those three things together, what we come up with is the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is one being, in three persons.
Now that's a fascinating
definition.
Yeah, that's great. And that is a really fascinating way to explain it to people. I think I might need to start using that. The Trinity is not so much something that we just want to teach the Trinity. We're really trying to teach three different things.
Right.
God is one, but Jesus is God. You know, Holy Spirit's God. We're showing these things that are taught in the Bible, and we're using the word Trinity to explain these different concepts together. Is that an okay way to put it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And of course, one of the things that people so often say, well, the word Trinity never appears in the Bible, but that's not a very good objection to the Trinity, because the Trinity is simply a word that we use to refer to a set of teachings from Scripture. There's a lot of things that we use as theologians that are not in the Bible. For instance, we talk about anthropomorphism in the Bible, the idea that there are times when, although God is said to be immaterial and invisible, sometimes it uses things like God's mighty right arm to describe something about God. And so it's a terminology.
Kind of like when I say
something about God.
Kind of like when I say Dave is as sweet as cherry pie,
and he would be right.
Dave doesn't literally have a cherry on his head.
Right, I'm just sweet.
Right, you know,
not taste wise, but I'm just sweet.
Anthropomorphisms are great literary utilities, but you know, we actually, I got some clips here from a guy. He is a doctor who, he was an atheist, and now he's a Muslim. I want you just to listen really briefly to part of his, I guess you'd call it, untestimony.
I thought I would find the truth in Christianity. I studied Judaism first. That led me to studying Christianity. I thought I'd find the truth there for years. Years I tried to convince myself, I tried to become Christian. I always kept coming up against the same thing. I always kept liking some part of it, but having trouble with others. And when it came down to the tenets of faith, I would talk to the priests, and I would say, well, how about this? And they couldn't explain it. And how about that? And they couldn't explain that. And, well, what about this? And they'd kind of shrug their shoulders, and I'd just say, well, you know, thanks anyway, and move on to the next congregation. It wasn't until I found Islam that all of my questions were answered.
Okay, so this guy actually says, and we find out later, one of those things was the Trinity. He asked people questions, and everybody would just shrug their shoulders. I don't know how to explain this. Why do you... go ahead.
That's unfortunate, but unfortunately, many people, even Christian leaders, pastors, and so on and so forth, they often want to refer to the Trinity as just this big mystery, and they don't give a lot of thought to it and how we can explain it in a way that makes sense. And so I think it's very unfortunate, but the fact that you find people, even many people, who are incapable of giving you a good explanation doesn't then invalidate the doctrine itself.
Now, that's a really good point. You can go to, I don't know how many churches, we're broadcasting here out of Salina. Of course, we're in a lot of different cities, but you could probably go to every church in every city that this show hits, and you could probably find a really good handful of people who would say, you know, I don't know how to explain the Trinity. It's a mystery. Maybe even some people who would say, you know, I don't even know if it's biblical or not. And just because they say that, just because there are some, as this guy talked to you, priests who don't know how to explain it, doesn't mean it's not real. That's what we want today. How do you explain this? And Jacob has written a really great article. We're going to link to that on the website. And so you can go read his article on his blog. Jacob, what's your address?
It's just jacoballee.com. So last name's A-L-L-E-E.
And this is initially why we wanted to talk to him about this. His article was great. In there, he says, the Bible teaches that within the one being that is God, there is a simultaneous existence of three co-equal and co-eternal persons, namely the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This doctrine is typically called the Trinity. And then he goes on to explain it, and I like here you say, any quality or feature that can be properly attributed to something is part of its being. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and explain that one, Jacob?
Yeah, see, a lot of times people get tripped up here when we start talking about the Trinity and God being one and three. And what they trip over is the idea that they think we're saying that God is both one person and three persons.
Yeah, you hear
now,
that a lot.
If we said that, we would be contradicting ourselves. We would actually have a problem there. But we want to be careful about our language. What we're saying is that God is one being, or sometimes the word essence is used, in three persons.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept of the term being simply refers to the existence of a thing. It's just, you know, we have the term state of being, right?
Yes.
Well, all things that exist have being. Rocks have being. A chair has being. Humans have beings. Hence, obviously, we call ourselves human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever we could describe about a certain thing that exists is part of its being.
Right,
now,
and beings have properties, and I taught philosophy at college for a while, so I want to interject this.
Go for it.
Beings have properties, and a lot of times we confuse properties from being. We think well, what makes a human being? And people would say, well, you know, you have two eyes, two legs, you have a heart, you have a brain, and you have human skin. That's what makes you a human being. Okay, well, what happens if you lose your arms? Well, no, they're still a human being. Okay, well, what happens if you lose your arms, your eyes, and your legs?
Well, it depends. Are you an amphibian?
No, you're still a human being. Like, being is a quality, not a property. It's not something that you have. It's something you are.
Yeah, let me go ahead and say something here from, I mean, because out of the three of us, I'm the only one that's really got no education
in this. You've been to the school of hard knocks.
Right, I have. But check this out. Okay. The thing is, I think the thing that people stumble over the most when they try to explain the Trinity is they try and explain it about something else, but the Trinity is the most unique thing in our universe or in or outside the universe. You know what I'm saying?
There's
no way to really compare it to anything. So I think people trip themselves up when they go to try and start explaining it by comparing it to other things.
Yeah, you talk about the egg, and people have used other things. They've used, of course, ice and steam and water, and they've used the tricycle and three-leaf clovers and all kinds of things to try and find an adequate analogy to the Trinity. And just as Jeff mentioned earlier, as soon as you think you found the perfect one, you've actually probably fallen into some sort of heresy.
Right.
Right.
What I really encourage people to do is stop trying to compare God to anything, because there is nothing like our God.
Yeah, but don't you think he's like a clover? Oh, okay. All right. But, okay, let's get back to the thing. So God is a being, just like we are human beings, and nothing you can take to or add from quality or property wise makes us a more of a human being or less of a human being. God is a being. All right, now go from there as far as what you were talking about.
Chairs have being. So again, any attribute that you could ascribe to a being is part of what it is. Now, we want to go from being to the concept of what a person is. And personhood's in a lot of ways a hard thing to nail down, but some things we could say is there's at least the potential for intelligence and for a will and the ability to think for oneself and things like that. And mm-hmm. So when we talk about, for instance, a human being is distinct from a rock, for instance, because it has person. It has a central intelligence. It has a will. And that's something that separates an inanimate object from a human being. But mm-hmm. when we talk about the being of God, God is a completely different being than even a human being. And what's unique about his being is the fact that he is made up of three distinct persons, three distinct individual intelligences. And, of course, the question of God's will amongst the Trinity is an interesting question for maybe another show. But nonetheless.
I can explain how that works perfectly.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that we are to God as the rock is to us?
You know, I like that because, okay, the rock has being, but it has no personhood.
Right.
We have being and personhood. God has being and three persons.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's maybe an easy way to look at it.
Is that fair to
say? Right, right. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, just understanding that there are different kinds of beings, that is the mm-hmm. most important thing to understand here. And so there's nothing contradictory about the notion of there being a being that is different from a rock and different from human beings, that in this existence has and shares three persons that make up its nature, its essence.
Yeah, it's kind of like finding a two-headed animal. You haven't found a contradiction in terms. You've just found an animal that has a different form than is normally seen. And so, wait, is that the perfect analogy?
No, it is not.
But at least it gives us maybe a picture of, you know, you can have something that has a totally different way of existing than you thought could happen. So anyway, so we're bouncing up against the break here. We're going to be back with more about the Trinity, more some quotes, some challenges from a former atheist who is now Muslim on why he doesn't accept the Trinity.
Right. We got Bible contradiction coming up after the break, too.
Oh, yes. We are going to hit it. We're not going to forget it this week.
Last week,
you had to get online to do it. Uh-huh. But all right. Also, go to truthrevolution.tv.
Right. You can check out past shows, Truth Shots.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, mm-hmm. 60 Seconds of Truth. And this show will be there, recorded live. It's going to be on the site if you want to hear it again, or any other show that we've done.
Right.
So go to truthrevolution.tv, and Revolution Church starts 10:15 Sunday mornings. We love to have you out there.
Definitely. Come on out. Whatever you're wearing is good.
SlineRevolution.com is the site there. You can even watch live online. Check us on the other side of the break. TruthRevolution.tv coming right back.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, SalinaRevolution.com. www.SalinaRevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
The Bible contains hundreds of prophecies, and these prophecies verify the truth of our scriptures.
Of course, many holy books claim to have prophecies.
The question is, are they all really prophecies?
In the Bible, Psalm 22:16 says the Messiah would have hands and feet that are pierced.
That's pretty specific.
Compare that to the Quran. In Surah 32, it predicts this: the Romans will be defeated.
Not very specific. Everyone is defeated at some point.
Another Bible prophecy comes from Malachi 3:1.
It says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come.
Pretty clear there will be a messenger before the Messiah, and then the Messiah will come soon.
Compare that to the Hindu prophecy, which says, petty-minded people will conduct business transactions and merchants will be dishonest.
Ooh, how did they know?
Yeah, not very specific.
It's easy to say that all religions have prophecies, but only the Bible has detailed far in the future predictions.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Woo!
Talking about the Trinity today.
That's right.
And we're not talking about the Matrix. We're talking about the real Trinity.
The real Trinity. And today we have Jacob Ali special with us, who he has found the perfect analogy for the Trinity. Dang.
You had me going there for a second. Like, what? I missed
it. Gotta
something?
Stop doing that.
Man, I missed it.
No, again, thanks for being with us, Jacob. And we were talking about the Trinity, some of the mistakes people make. In your mind, what's one of the reasons people have a hard time understanding the Trinity? I mean, we talked about it being, okay, God is one being, three different persons. And, you know, the way we explained it was fairly simple. Like, hey, we're a being with one person. A rock is a being with no person. God's a being with three persons. That's right. Pretty simple. Why do you think some people have a hard time understanding the Trinity?
I think it's because most people, and even many Christians, are just extremely confused about what we're saying. And just like if I said, I'm holding one piece of candy in my hand and I'm holding three at the same time and in the same way, that would be a contradiction. And people think we're talking about God in similar terms.
But wait. The important question is, do you have candy?
I am within arm's reach, so.
Yes!
And will you share?
Woo! Okay, sorry, I got lost there. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Go ahead. People are just misinformed as to what we're trying to say.
Yeah, and even many Christians, even Christians who have been in the faith for years, you know, they've been taught that this is just a doctrine to accept purely on faith and not, you know, don't think it out real deeply, because they are, I think a lot of people are afraid, frankly, if you look into it, it might be contradictory, and so it's better to just leave it alone. But, yep. But I think we can show that it's actually a reasonable, logically correct view.
Okay. I got a quote here from a guy that we're going to play his audio clip, and I want you to answer that. But before that, I want to point people to your article that we're going to post online. Actually, you got a couple articles that we're going to post too. But okay. You say here, in recent years, some popular novels such as Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, as well as the press surrounding the publication of the Gospel of Judas and other Gnostic works, have stirred up a lot of controversy surrounding the old debate about the deity of Christ. Conspiracy theories concerning massive cover-ups by the church and supposed attempts to suppress the truth about the real and, by the way, totally human Jesus have regained popularity over the last decade. Why do you think the media is obsessed with the humanity of Jesus?
Well, if they can invalidate Jesus as God, then Jesus no longer has authority to tell anybody how to live their lives.
Right.
And so I think if we can bring Jesus down to our level, or at least just to a great human teacher, then there's no longer any, he has no real say over my life. It's just maybe some good advice.
Right, but how do you know that Jesus actually claimed to be God? I mean, you're saying that's an important part of the Trinity. I mean, that's kind of a big claim, you know?
Sure. That gets into a lot of different issues, but I do think that the scripture that we have is very clear in some ways that Jesus calls himself God. In fact, a lot of people get confused about the fact that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man all the time. But if we go back to Daniel, what we see is the Son of Man is actually a divine figure who is given all power and authority over all the nations.
When Jesus says, "I am the Son of Man," he's not saying, "I'm just a little boy."
Right.
right. Yeah, no, he's not just calling himself human, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, if you think about it, it's a really weird thing to keep calling yourself if it's just like, yeah, no, duh. You know?
Yeah, I'm the Son of Man. Congratulations. We are too.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Right. And the Jewish audience would have known exactly what he's referring to. In fact, that's what gets him in trouble. That's what gets him finally crucified when they ask him. He says, "I am the Son of the Blessed One, and you'll see me coming on the clouds of heaven with that power and authority," which is that reference back to Daniel.
Yeah.
And so they crucify him for blasphemy.
Absolutely. And the reference he's talking about there is Daniel 7:13-14. He says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And clouds in biblical literature, such as this, is talking about judgment, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days, that is, the God, and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him, the Son of Man. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's the definition, the biblical definition of Son of Man.
Right. Well, let me throw a curveball here real quick. Now, would Dave's opening his mouth again.
Dun, dun, dun.
would the reason he's calling himself the Son of Man, wouldn't that be talking about especially when it talked about it in Daniel, foreshadowing his humanity come to earth? Is that what it's talking about? Yeah, of course he's God, but then he's a Son of Man and becomes human.
Not really. Unless Jacob disagrees with me, but
nice safe answer there, Jeff.
But Daniel 7, he says, in my vision, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man. In other words, right. He saw someone who had the figure of a human being,
okay.
But was definitely not a human
gotcha.
Being.
Okay.
He was only like a Son of Man, but he had all this authority, glory, and power.
Okay.
And so the Son of Man becomes this colloquial term in the Bible to express someone who looks like a human, but is really God.
Gotcha. All right.
Do you agree with that explanation, Jacob?
I do. I think that, yeah.
All right. sorry to, yeah, I nailed it. I pretty much nail everything. I'm pretty much awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
I knew that was coming.
Okay. We're going to
hit that buzzer again.
What do you mean? Cause I'm not, that's why would he do that? This is the last time he's on the show. No,
I just don't whatever.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Before he insults me again, let's go ahead. We're going to, of course, jump in with some audio about someone objecting to the Trinity. Give Jacob a chance to answer that. But we've got a Bible contradiction
right.
today. So let's do that.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Bible contradiction today. Should be a fairly easy one. I mean, if I can understand it, then pretty much anybody else can. All right, shall we call people names? Okay, Matthew 5:22 says, anyone who says you fool will be in danger of hellfire.
Right.
Okay, now let me explain. This is actually from the website, the freedomfromreligion.org.
Okay.
So, and this is exactly the way they put it. Shall we call people names? Matthew 5:22. Anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. And that, of course, was Jesus speaking. Matthew 23:17, though, he says, you blind fools.
Who said that?
Jesus. He says, you fools, you blind fools, which is greater? You know, when he goes on to say a couple comparisons there. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So what gives, man?
Okay, so we have here Jesus saying, if you say you fool, you're in danger of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus calls people fools.
Right.
God in Psalms calls people fools.
Yes.
So what's going on here? Is God or Jesus a fool?
I think the people
are going in danger of hell.
Yeah, freedomfromreligion.org is saying that Jesus is basically
in danger of hell.
Danger of hell.
All right, because that's what Jesus said. If you right. call someone a fool, you're in danger of hell. Mm-hmm. Well, what? Yeah, remember our CRACT acronym is how we solve Bible contradictions.
Okay.
A in the acronym is author's intent. You have to understand what the author was really trying to get at. And Matthew 5:22, this is where Jesus says this. He doesn't just say, anyone who says you fool. I mean, he does say that, but you have to understand in context, which is our C. He says, anyone who's angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. And anyone who says to his brother or sister, rock, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says you fool will be in the danger fighter of hell. He's talking about people who are talking to the brother and sister there.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who's in a close relationship. This isn't just anyone. You're not just talking to anyone. You're talking to your brother or sister, like someone in the Christian faith along with
right.
you. You can't break unity of the faith like that. And Jesus, he wasn't calling people fools who were in faith with him. He was calling people fools who were really outside of the faith, who were breaking faith.
Right.
And Psalm 14, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. That's someone who's not in the faith.
Right.
So the word fools only gotcha. Being applied to people who are not in the faith.
Right.
And Jesus says, if you call someone who's in the faith a fool, then you're in danger of the fire of hell.
Right, because Jesus actually did that a lot. I mean, as far as telling people, you know, look, are you an idiot? Look, this
yeah.
is the way it is.
Right.
You know?
No, and I would even go beyond this and say, let's look again at the author's intent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to go, the D in our CRACT acronym stands for dialect. How is the language used? Sometimes we use hyperbole. And Jesus here was saying, anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Do you think he was actually saying, you know, anyone who says this quote
right. You can say anything, but if you say you fool.
Yeah, then yeah, you're hellbound. You're
yeah.
done. I mean, is that what he was really trying to get yeah. at? No.
Let's get really literal here.
What he's saying is, if you have such low respect for another mm-hmm. human being that you're willing to just flippantly call out these names at them, then you have no love. Then you have no compassion, and that is something that's dangerous.
Right.
You are in danger of the fire of hell. When Jesus calls people fools, he's not doing it because he has no compassion, because he has no love. He's doing it because he sees things as they really are, and he's trying to strike people to wake them up to their reality.
Right.
So Jesus is speaking in both of these verses out of love, out of compassion. And when you look at it that way, it's easy to see this isn't a Bible contradiction. You have to take it in context and understand what the author was really getting at.
Bible contradiction.
Yeah, I think the thing is that people try to make it more complicated than what it is. If you look at the Bible through the glasses of love for God and for your fellow human being, then everything starts making more sense.
That's right. Okay, really quick audio clip here, and then we're going to let Jacob answer it. We might have to be on the other side of the break, so we'll just kind of go from there, because we only got like a minute and a half left. Let's listen to this really briefly, and I hope you can go to truthrevolution.tv while or after you hear this.
Viewers want to know, what were some of these questions that you had that weren't able to answer?
For example, the Trinity, it is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible.
Oh, the Trinity is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible.
It isn't.
We've mentioned that a little bit before, but Jacob, do you have another couple minutes? Can you hang out with us a little bit longer and do some stuff off the air?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, so we're just going to do a couple more minutes off the air. Go to truthrevolution.tv if you want to hear him answer this.
Right.
And yeah, truthrevolution.tv, plenty of content. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have two shots.
Right, you can even drop us a donation if you feel so led.
And thank you to everyone who donates to the show.
Yeah.
You make this happen.
Definitely.
It's really encouraging to know that people
Well, we've expanded because of that.
We have. We've gone on more channels. We've continued. We've been able to get new equipment to make things happen, like interviews with Jacob Ali. So, hey, and Jacob, for anyone not able to hear online, give us your website address one more time.
Yeah, www.jacobali.com, and I also have www.nailmark.net.
Awesome. All right, thanks, man, for being with us. TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Catch you next week.
Revolution.
And we are online.
So if you are listening right now, you have actually come to TruthRevolution.tv and you're going to get the really good stuff.
Welcome.
We always save the best stuff for the people who can't hear it on the radio because we don't like them.
Well, you know, they have to make the actual extra effort rather than just listening to a radio. They have to actually go sit down at the computer and punch in some letters.
That's right, which means they're actually a better person.
Right. We make people better people.
All right. So, Jacob, I'm going
to... Absolutely. We don't want to just give Jesus to people for free. You know,
right. You get a double buzzer for that one. Jiminy. All right. So, okay, Jacob, I'm going to play this quote. I'm going to play the full thing, and then I'm just going to let you respond, all right?
All right. I'm good.
Viewers want to know, what were some of these questions that you had that weren't able to answer?
For example, the Trinity. It is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere do you find the word Trinity.
What do you have to say about that? Nowhere in the Bible do you find the word Trinity. That is probably the most common objection.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Again, we're not trying to say that the word Trinity appears in the Bible. We're trying to say that the concept of the Trinity is clearly taught in Scripture.
Okay, and then give to us a crystal clear rundown of how that is given out in the Bible.
Okay. From cover to cover, here's something that's pretty uncontroversial to say. The Bible teaches that there's only one God. Not too many people will disagree and say the Bible teaches that there's more than one God.
Right.
But the Bible does say that there's only one God. We have some pretty clear pictures that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are three unique persons, and they're distinct from one another. For instance, we can look at Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22, and this is when Jesus was being baptized, and it said, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" And so we have this picture of Jesus on earth coming up out of the water, the Spirit of God in the form of a dove descending from heaven, and a voice in heaven speaking out, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased."
Three different actions.
Three distinct individuals in the picture there.
That's really interesting. Okay. And go ahead. No, you go ahead. You're the expert.
So that's the second thing that is clearly taught in Scripture. And the other thing is that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three called God. And so nobody can test for the most part that the Father is called God. That's very clear throughout Scripture. But a lot of people will contest Jesus, and some will contest the Holy Spirit. And so that's sometimes the proving ground in the text.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the about 2 Peter 1:21 says, "Prophecy never had its origin in human will, but the prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Obviously, the Holy Spirit right there is God. I mean, he is doing the action, the work of God. They spoke from God, carried along by the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit's function.
And we see that the Spirit is present in the creation event in Genesis chapter 1. So the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We also see in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira that when they lie to God, they lie to the Holy Spirit. Peter says that they have lied to God.
That's a really good one to remember.
Wow, that is.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And of course, when we get to Jesus, one of my favorites is, you know, from Exodus 3, Moses says, "Well, what should people call you?" And God says, "I am." And then Jesus later, when they ask him, you know, "Well, who do you think you are?" And he says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." He was giving the name of God for himself, and they picked up stones to stone him right then because he committed blasphemy.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't just bad grammar on his part.
Right. And a lot of times, this is really important. A lot of times people say, "Well, Jesus never said, quote, 'I am Jehovah God.'" Right. Well, that's what a 21st century person might expect. But what did people expect back then if you were claiming to be God? And Jesus did the exact things that someone back then would expect him to do if he claimed to be God.
Yeah, and in the cultural context of the day, he couldn't really have said it much clearer in several different instances.
Yeah, especially, I mean, the fact that they're willing to kill him on multiple accounts because he was claiming to be God. So,
exactly. Good. And you know, there's some other things about Jesus that we could point out. The fact that he is given the attributes of the Creator, in Colossians 1. The fact that he is worshipped by individuals, even though he himself tells Satan in his temptation that you shall worship the Lord your God and only him shall you serve.
That's right.
He readily receives worship, whereas the apostles don't do that.
In Matthew 28.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when Herod does that, he dies and is eaten by worms. So.
Yep. Excellent.
Right.
Excellent.
Well, you know, since we're as human beings, we really don't have access, physical access to the spiritual realm. So it's something that we don't understand. So definitely God is all spiritual, and it is a substance that we don't really understand because we can't touch it, but it is in effect, and I might commit heresy here, but it's kind of like,
I've got my finger on the buzzer if you do.
It's kind of like a spiritual version of the Borg that are inseparable, but yet they know what each other's doing.
Strange, the buzzer did not ring on that.
You know, I mean, they are totally in tune with each other. They know what each other's doing. But in a spiritual essence, they are inseparable. We don't understand that because we can't touch it.
I just want to find more ways to talk about the Borg on our show.
Yeah. Well, you know, one time on my church marquee, I put Jesus is coming back, resistance is futile.
Right, there you go.
Whoa, sorry, that one does. Okay, no. Good. But, you know, another one Jesus does is he tells people, why do you call me good? Only God is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Psalms, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. It's like,
right.
Hello. So,
yeah. And the Bible is full of that kind of stuff.
It is.
Mean, it's crazy.
So awesome. All right, Jacob, we got to let you go here. I know I appreciate your time. I don't want to keep you too long. Anything else you just want to throw out there about the Trinity? I know you wrote a really good article here. Lots of stuff. But anything else you just want to throw out there and let people think about it before they get over to your site?
Yeah, I would just say there's lots of misconceptions out there. There's a lot of different conspiracy theories out there about the church suppressing information. And, you know, there was competing Christianities, and the one that we now call Orthodox is simply the one that won out.
Right.
I think if you really do any research at all, if you really just take some seriously scholarly look into this, even briefly, you're going to find that a lot of these claims fall by the wayside very quickly.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of claims about Arius and these councils in 300 AD, you know, they just decided they wanted to believe in the Trinity, and so they made it happen. And
yet the Trinity predated, I think belief in the Trinity goes right back at least to the first century. And I think even in the Old Testament, there was something aware of the essence of God being plural and yet one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the beginning, God said, let us, you know,
that's right.
That's a real good foreshadowing. So awesome. We have to get going here. I appreciate Jacob and the time that you've spent with us today. Hopefully we've educated people a little bit on the Trinity, and they don't have to fear God so much or fear the questions that come with that. Give us your website one more time. You have two of them.
Yeah, jacoballee.com and nailmark.net.
And jacoballee.com.
Yeah, we're going to put those online. So
yeah, we'll link to them. So if people go to truthrevolution.tv, our site, and look at this old show, they'll be able to get there really easily. And we appreciate everyone listening. Hey, if you're on the website right now, which I know you are because you're listening to the awesome online-only content for winners, why don't you go ahead and donate? Prove that you're a winner. And
there you go.
You guys make this show happen. You know, even if you started at 99 cents, man, that would just... that'd be awesome. It'd encourage us. So, also, if you got any questions or challenges, go ahead and send them in. TruthRevolution.tv. We'd love to have you. Thanks a lot, and see you next week.